friends. Lindsay Perry here, and we are thrilled that you're joining us for our Beyond the Woods podcast. This season is all about your story and how you found success. Throughout this season, you will hear from your Beyond family on how they found success and how you can take a page right out of their guide. In today's episode, we'll be meeting with one of our division directors coming to us from Southern California, where he's going to share what he and his team have been doing to find success. Jeff, how you doing, my friend?
Good morning, Lindsay. Hey, Harvey.
Hello, Mr. Jeff Friedman. So glad to have you on the pod today, man. It's been a long time coming to get you on here. I know we have talked about getting you on here a lot. So I'm glad that we finally made it happen. We finally made squeeze some time in all of our busy schedules.
Happy to be here. I'm flattered to be here as well.
So, Jeff, before we get into this interview and start giving all of your top secrets out to our listeners, we wanted to take a quick moment and let you kind of introduce yourself to everybody and tell them what you've been up to lately.
My name is Jeff Friedman. I live in Santa Barbara, California. I got a team of about 10 people between our team leads and our BAs. Out here in Santa Barbara, California, we are pretty much just like everybody else, struggling to figure out new ways to work in and around COVID and how to be successful in that space.
I like hearing that.
Yeah, you're still finding that success, and no matter what the situation is, you're still finding that success out there. And I know California's had some ups and downs with being, you know, open or closed or open or closed and whatnot. So even I think some greater challenges out there. And I think if, you know, we just wrapped up one of our first big contests during all this time, the incentive program. And, you know, Jeff, how successful was your team in kind of collecting some of that stimulus money, man?
My team overall, 7 out of 12 people received the stimulus kick. And actually, two of the more consistent people did not get it. And one of them was not feeling well, and the other one was working on something else, like another project, which just dragged him down. And it was surprising. So we really, like, I'm shocked that those two BAs didn't get the stimulus package. So it should have been 9, so I'm upset.
Hey, but now they're just geared up for this next contest, and the race is on, right?
Race for the cup.
The race for the Beyond Cup is on. And man, our people are definitely coming right out of the gates or off the starting line, however you want to look at it, fast and with a mission for sure. Now, Jeff, before we get into really digging into those questions and finding out what you guys have done to adapt and kind of change to make sure that what you're doing, your people are still staying safe, but at the same time, you're able to help your local merchants, I wanted to get to know your history just a little bit and kind of go back in time and see what was Jeff Friedman doing before he got into financial technology, and why in the world did you decide to join this crazy industry that changes, it feels like now, about every month?
I always have been in the service industry. I started at like 15 years old working in country clubs and snack bars, and fell in love with restaurants and worked in restaurants, and ended up cooking at my, as a teacher assistant in my TA at my college, teaching people how to cook, and then getting into country clubs, where I spent like the first section of my career, which was 2 years. And then after that, I switched to starting working at the Four Seasons. And I, my wife and I moved to Washington, D.C. And we lived and worked at the Four Seasons. Or I worked at the Four Seasons at Washington, in Washington, D.C. And from the ground up, if you had never pressed Shaquille O'Neal's pants, then you haven't lived. So I got crazy, crazy stories about all A-list celebrities that I can tell about, but I will only tell about that one.
I gotta know, how long does it take to press Shaquille O'Neal's pants?
That was super fun. So, you know, and then I transferred out, Four Seasons transferred me after I moved up from the laundry valet to like the front office manager and ran every or managed every employee basically that until they got to housekeeping in the Four Seasons DC. I transferred to the Four Seasons in Santa Barbara, and that was 19 years ago on Father's Day.
Okay.
And we've been out in Santa Barbara since. After about a year of my after a year, my first son was born. And at that point, we realized I wasn't seeing him enough, even though he was just in a crib all day long. I wanted to have time with him, and that wasn't the path that I wanted to be on. So my wife, Allie, and I decided that we were going to start our own business. I don't know why that we thought that would be better, but we opened up our little frozen. We opened up a frozen yogurt ice cream candy store. It was called Sweet Allie, and it was loosely named after my wife. But we had a lot of success with that. And I went from, I ultimately had three different locations. And when I went from like a downtown adult location to out to a college environment, the purchasing change for my customers, and instead of having 5 to 10 credit card transactions a day, I was having 5 to 1,200 credit card transactions a day at $5 and at $4.65, I think was my average ticket. So you can imagine how that little, I think it was a Hypercon T7 Plus. Yeah, I think that's what it was. I don't
know. You are going back in time that one.
T7 Plus.
All of our people that are newer to the industry are going to have to Google that just to know what it is.
I didn't know what it was either. I was just a business owner. And the whole line was just swiping the card. Like, it was the craziest thing. So we switched around, and I got to a point where I was so much of my business was going through that little credit card terminal that I needed to learn more about it. And anywhere I turned, I was processing through my bank at that time. And anywhere I turned, I was getting very vague answers. And since I wanted to get to the bottom of it, since it was so much of my money, I really wanted to understand how money moved. And when I found a company that did that, I obviously started processing with them. And that was Bob Carr's old company. And once we switched, once I switched to there, I switched on my payroll with them and everything down the road. And it was just a different space. And then it was great. I was wildly successful and had a great time with it. And then I closed one of my stores, which meant that I had to stay in the store all day. And I didn't like that. I realized that getting upset with college students that were taking, like, you know, that 1 ounce sample cup and somehow defying gravity, that 1 ounce little tiny thing could hold that much yogurt was unbelievable. Like, 3 or 4 inches up off the cup. And I was like, this is ridiculous. I got to get out of here. So I realized I like dealing with adults, and I called the person that I worked with in Bob's old company and asked what it was look like to join that. And because I realized that we're service, and it was a service industry that I enjoyed. That's the part that I wanted to get to. And finding that service element of what we do is what drew me to going into this. And it's been, I think I started there in 2012 and left there in 2017.
So you started out as a business owner with multiple locations, and you started realizing that your credit card processing was really getting a bulk of your money, and you wanted to understand why and how that money was moving, and as a business owner, how you could make better decisions with your money. And through your research, you kind of found out who you'd been doing business with wasn't able to educate you. So you found a different place that was. And then from working with them, what I'm hearing you say is you kind of got the bug and you decided that financial technology was the place for you because it really played to that service passion that you have to be able to truly come in and help people who, like yourself, may have been paying a lot of money for something that they didn't understand why. They didn't understand why X, Y, and Z company got X, Y, and Z amount of their money. And it gets frustrating. And so you got to step into a position where you could go out and be that advocate to help educate other people who are just trying to live their American dream. Is that a fair little summary?
So I absolutely lived the beyond dream, right? Like, I was referred to the person that signed me up in Bob's old company. I was frustrated with the system. It wasn't about paying too much money. That wasn't the concern. I just wanted to know why I was paying, why there was all like, why, what did tier three meant? What did, like, it was tiered pricing back then. So what did this mean? What, and no one could understand it. I don't mind paying money if I know what it's for. Right. And then once I got to that, then the next step became the internal referral to work here. Right, to work at that company, right? And then ultimately I did what I really, really, really enjoyed, which was work with my community to help fellow business owners
help spread that knowledge.
Yeah, right. Because once I used to tell people all the time, look, you know where my business is. If I'm dishonest to you, go throw a rock through the window. Right? I give you permission. I'm not going to be dishonest with you. That was the level of trust that I had in what we were doing. And I was sincere about it.
Thank goodness, right? Thank goodness that no one came and busted your window down. What I like about this, and I'm curious to know, for you, it was really the kind of, you know, pulling the curtain back, so to speak. You're very familiar with pulling the curtain back, Jeff. As his background right now is a green screen that he can pull the curtain back on, everybody, for those who can't see. But, you know, Jeff, like, someone pulled the curtain back for you, kind of showed you what was happening behind the scenes, and that's kind of what inspired you to kind of move forward. So I've got to ask, is that kind of what helped you find success? Was you know, getting this kind of aha moment for you, was that seemed to be the catalyst to going, well, hey, you know, my next door neighbor, do you know what's kind of going on here? Right. Kind of. Will you talk to me about how that conversation started when you started talking to other business owners?
So when I started and I pulled in like 20 some odd appointments for me to go out with my manager right away, it's really when it all made sense, because I sat with my manager and we analyzed the statement. And yes, I understood from as a customer, but it didn't really make that much. Like, it made enough sense that I understood it, but I wasn't living it. And then when I started working here and seeing how that actually works, it was pulling back the curtain. It was whatever, opening my eyes. It was a rebirth, whatever you want to call it. Like, I couldn't believe the shenanigans that were going on in this space.
Well, and you know, that just gets me to thinking about how Beyond really takes a focus in making sure that our people are educated on our industry, so that we're not just going out there signing people up, promising savings, which, yes, obviously, if we can help save them money, we want to do that. But we want to be more value to them than just a dollar sign. We want to be able to provide information to them and help them make educated decisions for their business. And as a training team, I got to tell you, I love that Beyond puts such a focus on education and making sure that our people know what's going on. And all too often, we will get people that, you know, when they come over and they join Team Beyond, and maybe they were at a different company before, that they did not have the same opportunities to learn that they get here. And so even though they've been in the industry for a while, they themselves are finding out that the way Beyond does things, the education that goes into equipping our people, is different, because we want you to be able to speak with your customers and help them do what's best for them and not just get them signed up because they think Jeff's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, 100%. But I will say that I didn't learn as much as I know about shenanigans until way later on. You just have to find a couple things to point out. And we don't want to point out everything. We don't want to go line by line saying, this is a junk fee, this is a junk fee, this is a junk fee, because we live in the profit of the junk fee. So if we point out everything and the merchant says, okay, well, now that you've gotten rid of all these junk fees, let me take out my little trusty calculator and I see that I should be able to save $100 a month, but you're only saving me 50 or you're saving me 30, right? So well, how does that work? And the reality is you don't, you want to just talk about like the PCI non-compliance fee. My favorite is a PCI non-compliance fee. And then a line that says PCI.
Me too.
PCI compliance fee. Like you can't charge both, but you see it on the
statements. How can you be both?
You can't be both.
That still happens today.
Still happens today. 100%. So that is like, you know, for all the new people out in the world, and you don't need to be an expert. You need just the trust that the fact that the calculator is amazing, that your manager and your peers are going to help you, and understand that just by having a conversation to be able to talk about interchange and say that that is a shenanigans fee is more than the merchant knows, and therefore you know more than the merchant after two meetings, because a meeting with a merchant only knows one thing.
Right.
And what I like about that, Jeff, is it's something I continually tell my new hires in the training program that we bring here, is that you don't have to know everything about everything in this industry. As long as you understand that truly the promises are the distinctions, and the exact opposite is of the promises is what everybody else is used to doing. That if you focus more on the, hey, let me educate you, let me teach you what I know, which is that, listen, there's a bunch of junk fees that exist out here and people charge you for things that they don't need to charge you for. It's just simply to increase the bottom line. Like when you see an analytics fee, what analytics do you get? Do you get anything like that? Do you get like a cool dashboard? Do you get like, do you have like an analyst that you get to talk to on the phone? Probably don't get anything like that.
My favorite is when I see Merchant Club. I love to see the Merchant Club on the statement. I'm like, do you work out there once a week, twice a week? You know, like, what is that club? Like, do they give you towels? What you have to bring your own towels. I always ask questions about towels in the merchant fee or the Merchant Club.
So, Jeff, let's talk a little bit about what's been going on down in Southern California with your team. Like you said, 7 out of 12 got their stimulus payout, which is excellent. You were expecting a few more, but I have a feeling, knowing your team, they've got some tricks up their sleeves. But what have you guys been doing to adjust and change to the fact that, yet again, SoCal's kind of on lockdown? What are you guys doing?
So there's a multiple stages to this. And actually, I think Lindsay and I, you and I talked about this way, way, way long ago when we started the first shutdown. Like the first stage is, oh my gosh, am I really going to go through this? How am I going to survive? And then it's like, okay, now that I know that we can do things, how do we do them? So back in the last, and then the stage is, okay, getting out and making contacts with merchants and figuring out a way to do that. So the first part is the disappointment that you have to change your job, right? You have to be fluid. Yeah. You have to figure out a different way to do it. And I got to tell you, Tim Haslam came at a perfect time. He brought Corona to Beyond. He started the first day. All his fault. But with that being said, he did bring a solution and taught us in California about the concept of using a telephone. Right? We're all, for the most part, face-to-face Salesforce. That's what we enjoy. Yeah. Right? We're having a interview right now, it's on Zoom, and the reason it's on Zoom is so we can see each other and have fun and laugh and make faces at each other while we're doing this, right? But that's the body language that you lose when you're not in a face-to-face opportunity or you're not pulling doors. So the goal is, you know, to get appointments. That's it. And Tim spent a great amount of time teaching the team that, and that turned around a lot of the sales force into using that. So that's part one. And then the second part was we had to have a product. And Beyond, like, look, we had so many products already, but nobody was looking to buy the same products that we're selling. No one was looking at a time when they don't know if they're going to pay their employees or how they're going to pay their employees, the same worrying about card processing. So what do we do? Mm-hmm. We had an incredible start to a PPP loan We have the ability to take our current payroll processing merchants and help them to make sure that magical loan turns into a grant if they got it. We had a lot of success with our partnership with Smart One in getting the mom and pops of restaurants online very quickly. And that led to a lot of margin. And then when we sold those deals, we turned a lot of those deals into a flat rate or a price on the card processing for the online ordering, so that they were able to get the fees right away and understand what those were. And still, like, at some point I created a little Smart One margin or savings calculator with Tim Haslam as well, to get people to be able to quantitate why this is a good investment. And, you know, it just put numbers in front of business owners who were struggling to figure something out, that all of a sudden had to spend $299, like what their break-even point was for that. And we were able to show that it was 5 orders or 10 orders a day. And it does, you know, it's daunting if you have 0, but once you convert your customers to that, it really helped.
Right.
So having the right product and the right attitude when you're making those calls was step 2. And then I think the third one was the idea of, so the third is having the meetings, like getting to people. Like my interviewing is a big part of my job, and it's so much more efficient for me to be doing that in Zoom. Right. And the ability to talk with people and see each other is a really powerful tool. Now, Harvey actually took this to another level. I got to give Harvey credit for this, because he, when I told him about this and I built this like little cone of secrecy around me, he recommended that I put logos behind. So now, like, if I'm meeting with a merchant, like right now I have a Beyond logo on, but I met with a merchant that Matt and Joe set up yesterday, and Scott was on the phone and Sherry was on the phone because we were looking at workforce and payroll, and they had never been to this merchant. But when the merchant logged in, he saw his own restaurant behind me. And he was like impressed by that. And also it gave them an idea of what the restaurant looked like and what the restaurant felt like from far away. So it was a benefit for everybody to be having those sort of 2-sec, I literally 3 minutes to download a picture and put it onto my Zoom backdrop. And it had a positive impact. So look, none of us would have taken a job at a call center, but again, we got to make ends meet, and we got to find ways to make money for us and the company and be successful. And that's the goal.
Well, it's like you said, just being adaptable.
But Jeff, there's a couple of things you said there, man, that, you know, when COVID hit, helping VAs find their rhythm again about, you know, stage one, how will I survive? Man, there was a tough 2 weeks there of how I will survive conversations happening with a lot of different people, where, you know, the coach in me was really like, listen, you know, there are successful inside salespeople. Those people aren't freaking out. They're doing just fine. They just got to sit at home and, you know, and press the dial, right? Just dial the numbers and start calling people. And all you really had to do was put yourself in a different mindset and think about yourself as, hey, inside salespeople are successful. All I got to do is become a better successful inside salesperson. And what can I do that they are doing? Right. And Jeff is holding up a nice check of help from the peanuts. The doctor is in.
Well, I mean, that's a lot of it, right? Like I tell these people all the time, we are not in an environment in the outside sales force. You guys are, where we get to go to an office and on a normal day and sort of voice grievances or frustrations or stuff, right? And just as this was kind of coming together, and this comes from me joining into Tim Toom's video calls on Fridays, I realized that it's a lot more fun to have these conversations and a lot more personal when you have these conversations as a team together. Like my goal is always for my team, who may see each other once a quarter to know who everybody is, because now they know them from this, right? They know them from Zoom. And it's sort of, it's the coffee machine conversation that you have in an office. You know, when Harvey Lindsay used to steal your yogurt and you'd be yelling at him, but you were all hanging out in the kitchen and you joked around in there. Yeah, then you broke off and you went to work, right? So we also increased the amount of telephone calls, but they didn't become telephone calls. They're Zoom calls. And we do ask people to keep their cameras on and keep them fun and keep them light. And they're not just about, like, you know, every day isn't about something. It's just about having a conversation and hearing each other. And everything that one BA is feeling in, you know, San Diego, they're feeling the same thing in Santa Barbara or in Irvine or in wherever, in Ojai. It doesn't make a difference. Ventura, it's all the same that we're struggling with. And to hear how somebody else got through it, not just from their leadership, but from their peers, is super powerful.
Well, and I love that you guys started doing things like Zoom virtual happy hours and stuff where you'd get together. And I actually got to join one of your happy hours, and it was during dinner for me. And so I told them, I was like, guys, I'm just going to be eating. We're just going to get to know each other on a real personal level. And, you know, we sat there and we shared dinner. We shared a couple toasts. I'm still a little sour that Matt Feinberg's got such a bomb backyard and we've not been invited for a backyard party yet. Matt, just so you know, Harvey and I are asking for an invitation for a backyard party when things clear up. I'm just going to throw it out there. But I loved getting to see you guys not in the work environment, not at the road shows, not at the bash, not when I get to see you, you know, in your workspace, but instead getting to see you guys in your homes. And getting to see the kids pop in the background and say hi to everybody. And it's just, it's fun. And it really, it's humanized, I think, our entire company to where, yes, we know we can get work done. And the last few months have proven that if Beyond puts their mind to it, magic can happen and we can make some really awesome things work. But we're also getting to know each other on a personal level. Like, I know you've heard Alyssa's rooster. At this point, like the rooster that her neighbor has that's going off in the background. And it's just a way we all get to know each other on a different level. And it's been really encouraging when I think a lot of places, you know, and a lot of people, they're feeling those pains, but maybe their company didn't get as creative as Beyond did. But we got creative and we found a way to make sure we all still felt like we were together, but just separate.
Jeff Lau just has like a nine-month-old baby, and he's on the call all the time. And he's like our mascot. We're like, hey, let's see Mars. Let's turn him on. So happy to report today that Mars said dad for the first time yesterday. So we're good. We're in good shape.
Congratulations, Mr. Lau. Good job there. Doing something if he's saying dad pretty quickly.
This is the stuff we never would have known about each other, right? But we're in each other's houses now. Yeah. We're in each other's worlds, and you know, Harvey's given me a tour of his house, and we see where things are. Like, we understand, right? Like, it's a different personal connection. And to me, this has always been about personal connection. Rapport that we sell in is personal connection. So when we are making personal connections, we are selling. Going through the line by line on a statement, finding that never turns into a sale. Because the number one thing is always, we buy from people, right? You don't buy because you have the best price. I mean, if that was the case, I like this example.
I wouldn't have all Apple products.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Like, that is the example I use all the time, right? Now, don't find somebody with an Android and use that, because they'll get a chip on their shoulder. But the reality is, we pay for better products. We pay for better service. We're not driving around in typically our dream cars are not, you know, the Ford Pinto of the world. We are looking for things that bring us comfort, luxury, and personal satisfaction, whatever that means, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I know Colin has a Charger RT or Challenger, I forgot which one he has. But that is super fun to him. Mm-hmm. And you work for those things, and whatever it is, those are the things that makes it important. Like, this isn't just about making sales. It's really about the relationship between you your family, and probably the most important person in your relationship is your checking account. And if those three people are in balance, you can do that. You can't control your family members. You can control you, and you can control your checking account. And if you can help those two, a lot of other things will be better. Trust.
Yeah.
That's the part. I mean, you know.
It's just paying attention to the simple things, to the basic things, and making sure that we don't lose sight of that and that we keep that at the forefront while we build on top of it. So, Jeff, you've kind of gotten into and touched a little bit on some of your methods to your madness in leadership and kind of how you approach leadership. I'm kind of curious, what do you think makes your team work so well, and what are you actively doing as a leader to make sure that you guys are working together the way you do?
Well, I do think that the communication with the team, or the interpersonal team communication, is so important. But then beyond that, I think the bigger thing that we're doing is we're being active and using sphere of influence. I'm one of those people that I can remember the day that my sphere of influence dried up and I actually had to go cold calling. And that was like a year into me working in card processing, right? And my best referring partner, she popped her head in before. Like she would go to a place and buy shoes for the kids, and the people knew us as her, as Allie of Sweet Allie, and say, how's the store? And they'd be like, oh, Jeff's out working for a card processing company. And they'd be like, why? Those are the worst people in the world. And she'd be like, yeah, but you know Jeff, and he's not. And he found a company that does things in a proper way. And so much so that he's actually left the store, hired somebody to work in the store full time so that he can go out and help other business owners. And they would say, when is he available? Call him right now. I want to talk to him.
You know, one of the things that I hear a lot from new hires is that they come here because the money in this industry is good. You know, was that an idea for you or thought? Was that a driver at all for you?
I didn't even know what the sales comp looked like. I didn't understand how I got paid.
That's so cool.
Didn't care how I got paid. What I was interested in was helping people, and that would lead to me getting paid. And yes, I was interested in when I spoke to the person that kind of talked to me about this, I was interested in the residual income. I liked having the idea of not needing to, like, having mailbox money. But I wasn't looking like I need to sell this amount. I need to sell this amount. I knew that I had to sell a certain amount to get to the bills paid. And that was $10,000 a month to get my bills paid, so that I could get $5,000 coming home. And anything I signed after that became instantly residual only. I like to earn people's business. So when I kind of like I told you, I'm a restaurant, a hotel person. Like, I love talking to the restaurant owners that think that they know everything and that they're so, they know, they know more about this, and that their card processors taking really good care of them. And I say things, something along the lines of like, let me ask you a question. I'm curious, if you had a meat supplier and you did what you should do on a regular basis, it spot check the weight of the meat coming in, and you're finding consistently, or even on one time, that your rates aren't right, your weight's off, what do you do? And he would say, well, I would call them, get the weight changed, and if it happened again, I would probably fire them. And I said, exactly. So if your statement shows one item that's not accurate, what do you do? You don't have a scale that can keep you up to date. You have to trust experts like us that understand this and can go through and find that shenanigan line item And when you find that shenanigan line item, you need to change, because the company that you're with can do it now. And they know, just like everybody else, every other business, the money comes out before you even get going for the month. And your rent goes out and this goes out the same day, right? Before you look at it, you get the bill a couple of days later. And by then you're already onto your new problem. So you have to, you have to have someone who looks at it, knows how to do this, and knows where the shenanigans are hidden, because they will change things on you when you stop looking. And we know that every business owner stops looking, because they just throw it in the file. They put it in a file for their accountant. They put it in a wait till the end of the year space.
Just like insurance, right? We don't look at our insurance bill. I just pay it and move forward. I assume that it's all right. I assume they haven't changed it on me. I know they send out letters when things either get increased or decreased, just like we do. But I don't really pay attention to it, right? I'm not really looking at it. You know, business owners are.
I don't usually even open those.
Yeah.
You know, and how many people don't?
I fight with my cable company every month. If it's up by more than 15 cents, I call them. And the first thing they say to me is, thank you so much for being a customer for 17 years. And I say to them, you're welcome. So let me ask you, how are you thanking me by changing my pricing and not explaining it? And miraculously, the prices become month to month the same thing every day. It's crazy. And then they take a 10% increase every year. I'm like, you don't deserve 10%. Let's reevaluate this. So
what am I getting for that additional 10%? You know, if I'm going to be paying that, I want to get something for what I'm paying for, you know, and that is the reality that we live in, is as buyers, we want to know that we're getting what we're paying for and that it has the value, or at least the perceived value, when we went into making that decision. And all too often, the perception of the value and the value itself, they don't add up. They don't measure. They're not equal. And there's where that difference comes in, and where you can go in and actually help show that and show them that it can be different. You can have some more visibility to what's going on and a little more transparency so that you can understand. And here, let me show you how. You know, and I think that's just one of those really powerful things that we get to bring to the table when we're working with our clients, is, hey, we're not going to tell you we're going to be the cheapest out there, but we promise you, you'll always know what you're paying for. It'll be incredibly clear and we'll be good to go.
So what I think the best part of this industry is, when the answer looking for the money, is when the residual income pays your bills. When I sat at my first conference at Bob Carr's old company, and he talked about how to make more money and residual income will pay you more over time, I remember thinking to myself, this is my kind of guy. He's telling his sales force how to make more money. And that, to me, was just unbelievable. And then the reason I left my old company was I was in a sales conference years later, and they introduced the idea of an additional small fee. Didn't even make a difference, but it broke my promise, right? It broke my promise to my customers. And as I said before, it meant that people could start throwing rocks through my window, because that's what I told them to do. And I called Allie before I left that meeting and said, this will be my last month at this business. Because my bills were paid, I got to stand on my own two feet and honor my own truth to myself and truth to my customers, because of my hard work for years being at a space where the comp plan paid for me to do what I wanted to do.
I want to circle back to something that you said earlier that really has kind of stuck with me throughout this interview. You mentioned that when everything started to click with you way back when you were in the sales seat and getting started, was going out and running those appointments with your leader, and that being out there shoulder to shoulder with your leader is really when those aha moments started to click. And I know from experience of reaching out to you that you are often shoulder to shoulder out in the field with your people. Would you share with us a little bit about why that's so important to you now and what you have to do to make sure that you've got the time to give your people so that you can help them have that same understanding you had?
So I love when a new hire comes on board, and whether it's with me or a team lead, has a slew of opportunities to go to 10, 15 appointments, 20 appointments in the first week or two, because that clump of starting is not just for us to do the training or to make them some money. It actually really shows them that the depth of our company, because we get to go through the statements. We get to go through the full sales cycle in that time, typically. Like, if we're not getting one deal closed at 10, we've got some problems, right? So ideally, we're getting an opportunity to get you everything to happen, get it through underwriting, get it through payment, get you getting paid. And when that magical relationship line happens for a new hire, it's going to last longer. They see the process and they've learned it, right? It's sort of like the first day of a job being shown where the bathroom is. You need to know some basics. And this is a basic of how this job works. Then it becomes the things that we can fine tune, right? Can we get better appointments? Can we not sell on price and sell on our promises and the transparency and honesty of our business? Like, that is where the magic is. Like, but at first, let's get people to get deals to happen. And so when someone's out in the field, or I'm out in the field, I'm like, I obviously can go out and prospect, and that's not a problem. But I prefer going out to the meal to him and having a meal, right? And by having a meal, I mean, let's have appointments, right? That's the key, because that's where our BAs make money. For me to go out in the field and prospect, it's a useful tool. But the reality is, if you're in this world and you think you have the opportunity and you can hear this podcast, you are working for a company where you should have the basic skills of being able to set some appointments. And then your team, Lindsay, will train them to get even better on that remotely or in between appointments. But the actual meat and bones of this company is the appointment, because that's where the magic can happen. And, you know, when I'm sitting with someone, they're always going to pick something up. But on the flip side, I'm always going to pick something up too. So I enjoy it. I love being out in the field. My downside is always that I spend too much time kind of looking to go into the field instead of doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Don't tell Tim, either Tim or Brent, but going is recruiting, right? So I'd rather be doing that. Like, we all do what we enjoy more, right? So that's the reality of it. So this COVID space has actually been a benefit, because now I'm spending more time doing what I need to do, as well as spending more time helping my team ideally get to appointments and run appointments and doing that. I hope that answered your question.
Yes, you 100% did. And what I'm hearing there is the magic happens when they get to see the success, when they get to see that appointment and see everything come to life, because that's where the promises really matter. That's where the different offerings that we have available really start to come to life. And it's a whole lot easier to understand the boarding process once you've seen it live and in action, and you hear the questions that that business owner has about what's going to happen next. And you have the security of your manager sitting right there with you, so that if you don't have the answer, you can just kind of look over. But if you don't have the answer, and for some reason, maybe you're far enough in your path that your leader's not going out with you, you got the compass. And it's there to kind of be your kind of guide in your pocket, where when you need it, you can pull it out and get that quick answer. And if you don't find it there, phone a friend and someone's going to be there to help you. All right, Jeff, I think we have not only shared some sage advice, but we've actually had a handful of good laughs, and I think that we had some fun while we were doing it. So this feels like it was a pretty successful podcast. How are you feeling, Harv?
Feeling pretty good about it. Jeff, it's an honor to have you on the podcast. Good to sit down and talk with you and have it on the record and get to share some of the knowledge and the things that, you know, make me excited to talk to you when we get to talk and get that on the podcast and share it with our whole industry. So with that, my friend, I want to know, do you have any kudos that you want to throw out there? Anybody who comes to mind that you want to, you know, thank, you know, give a thanks to for getting you where you are today, or someone who's helped you out? You don't have to say my name. I already know that. But anybody else that you'd want to give kudos out there to?
So there's actually, obviously, I really want to thank the Service Center. I'm a big believer in we do what we do best. I and my team go out and find new customers, and the Service Center, it's so passionate about making the connection and service siding of it go that I don't need to worry about that part of it. They do a better job solving problems than I will ever do. And so the Service Center is key. My team is awesome. I've changed my backdrop. You guys can't see it, but I changed the backdrop from Beyond
to my
picture of my team the last time we were together at one of Rick's restaurants that's processed with us. And I also, anybody, there's two, I want to thank my family, but my wife is also, she's such a huge supporter of this. But I will tell you that my wife and my friend Oren, everyone who works with me hears stories about Oren, because when I told them that I was going to do this, we were at Oren's house, and Oren and Allie both looked at me and said, "You've got to be out of your mind. You're not a salesperson, Jeff. There's no way that you could do this." Oren's a repair shop. He's like, "There's no way you can do this." And, you know, that is someone telling me no. Like, we all have a motivation, but when someone tells me no, that's my yes, right? Like, that is my ultimate yes. So in a job where we're prospecting, we get so many no's, like, that's the best for me. Like, I love that. Now I told you that Allie's one of my biggest referring partners, but my other one is probably Oren.
He's giving her a run for her money, huh?
Yeah, he's really strong in getting me and my and some local people here who also know him deals all the time. He's a well-connected guy, so it's fun to enjoy what I'm doing, which is, you know, also work-life balance. I want to give a quick thank you to work-life balance, because when you get work-life balance, it's incredible, right? It really is, and I have that because of my hard work in the beginning. As a business owner, you always get paid last. And here at Beyond, you're a business owner that got paid first. So I love that. I love that opportunity. I loved it from the beginning. And that's what, those are the things that I want to thank, whether it's a human or just a concept that made me do what I want to do.
I love hearing it. No's to you are just a reason to push harder for a yes. It's a kind of a fun little, I have this new sign that I've got on my desk, you know, my little motivation reminder that says, "They told me I couldn't, that's why I did." And that kind of seems like that's a little bit of you, Mr. Friedman. They tell you no and you say, "All right, challenge accepted. I'm going to find a way to help you and get to yes." And I find it kind of fun and telling that for you, the first group that you wanted to share a shout out to is the people that here at Beyond are responsible the most for helping our people. And that being that that's your heartbeat, is helping others and that service drive that you have. I see the proof in the pudding, being that that's the first crew that came to mind for you to share a thank you to. Of course, other than Heartbeat, you know, Service Center, but you know, of course. Listeners, I do want to take some time to just thank you guys for tuning in as we got to go and visit virtually down in Southern California and learn from one of our friends, Mr. Jeff Friedman. So, Jeff, thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy day to join us. And I look forward to seeing what you have up your sleeve for this next contest. Bye, everyone.